Let's go. Welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, Friday edition. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, baseball writer for auburndaily.com, joined by Harrison Tarr, women's basketball and softball writer for auburndaily.com, also host at the Auburn, at the College Loop. The College Loop. And big day on the plains because we have gotten the word of a quarterback commitment, always a big milestone for every recruiting class. Obviously, this group has done a ton of work on the trail since they've gotten here. And we have seen the commitment of Walker White, four-star quarterback, 6'3", 215, in Little Rock, Arkansas, chose Auburn over Clemson and Baylor. Harrison, what does this mean for Hugh Freeze and for the Auburn Tigers?
Well, for Hugh Freeze, this is big time. Now you've got your 24 quarterback that you wanted to bring in. There's a handful of candidates that we talked about in the past, but now you've got your guy that's a four-star going into his senior year. And winning a recruiting battle, it's not against Georgia. It's not against Alabama. I know it's not even against LSU, but it's against Clemson, against one of those coaches that when you list off the top five coaches in most people's opinion in college football, Dabo Swinney's always in that conversation, if not top three. It's a big-time recruiting win for Auburn, and also now you've got a few guys in this 24 class that you're starting to see the pieces come together. And I think Zach Lackerby mentioned it earlier today on Locked On Auburn that Hugh Freeze already felt like he was a little bit behind on the 24 class, which for all intents and purposes with the early signing period probably are coming in at a later date. But that aside, it really starts building this culture where you can start selling this to recruits. Like, this is a promising class. You can be part of something special here at Auburn. And it's an opportunity it's adding to a quarterback room that's the biggest conversation of this offseason, which obviously this guy's not going to be in the conversation because he won't be in college, but continuing to figure that kind of stuff out and for the future of the Auburn quarterback room. It's a big win.
Yeah. And so looking at the Auburn quarterback room going into next year, you should have obviously assuming nobody transfers because it's just hard to kind of project that stuff out. You have Robbie Ashford, who at that point will be, I believe, entering his junior or maybe senior. I'm not quite sure, but he'll be pretty far along. There you go. You'll have Holden Gariner. You'll have Walker White. And then Auburn had some other prospects that they were looking at, other quarterbacks, Aaron Noland, Kamari McClellan, different four-star quarterbacks. Does the choice of Walker White over those other guys, is it a bigger deal? Like, they're all four stars, and I know all four stars are not equal. Is Walker White maybe a better player than those? Or is it something where it's too early to know? Or is it something where this win isn't so much about on the field as it is the off the field message we're spreading through the recruiting being so good?
First off, I don't think you had a bad option here, but I do think Walker White could have been the right fit for what Freeze wants to do. A lot of people give him credit for being the quarterback whisperer. I mean, being good, Chad Kelly drafted, you're a winner in my book. you know what I mean? We've seen what he's done with Malik Willis and all these guys. The list goes on and on, right? If this is a guy that Hugh Freeze thinks fits in his system, I think you just have to trust that judgment. I don't think that there was a bad option here. Not to mention, Walker White's a 24/7 composite, 93.8. This kid could be a five-star by the end of his senior year or by the spring after. We see those kind of late things happen. Don't rule that out yet. I think that it's more than just optics. I really do. I think this is obviously for scheme. I'm not going to take anything away from what Freeze has done to this point. But it's also, hey, you get your quarterback of that class early, it's a lot easier to sell to your skill position guys and say, this is who you're going to be coming up with. This is your future. And this is the guy.
Yeah. The thing that I've said a lot about this team and recruiting is I never worry about defensive backs at Auburn. I mean, your 2024 class was 2 4-star defensive backs. Like, I never worry about that. But like you kind of said, this gives you a prominent, well-regarded player to build an offense around and to go out and recruit on your behalf to try to say, hey, you know, we're going to like, I want you to come play with me. I want to bring you to Auburn. I want you to do this with me. And big get for Auburn. I think now you look at, if you can get Walker White and keep him from going to Clemson, you can almost make the argument that you are in the running for just about any player who is uncommitted. It's not something where you have to take the guys that choose not to go to Georgia or Alabama. if you can go out and take a guy out of, from Dabo Swinney, who was seen as, he was crystal balled 70% or so, you know, for a while to Clemson. If you can go out and get him, you can go toe to toe with a Nick Saban, with a Kirby Smart, and compete for some of the five-star talent that you have to get in order to compete for national championships. Am I wrong for thinking that this raises the ceiling on Auburn's recruiting?
I think you're absolutely correct. Actually, I think that it absolutely does. If you go back and read about Walker White's last visit at Clemson, a lot of people said that it couldn't have gone better. That this was a lock. There's no shot that the Tigers lose him, and the Tigers didn't lose him. Just went to a different Tiger. Sorry, that was a really bad pun. I have to make my daily dad joke. This should give a lot of people a lot of hope going forward. There were a handful of already committed players at junior day, mm-hmm. I committed to the likes of LSU and Georgia, that chose to be at Auburn and wanted to know what's going on at Auburn. And if you can get a guy like Walker White to believe in what you're doing and what Hugh Freeze and his staff are creating and building at Auburn, I think that the ceiling is quite possibly, frankly, higher than we thought it was, Lindsay.
Yeah. And we talked on I think it was the Monday or Tuesday show that I did for the Auburn Daily about so many of those guys were linebackers and how you have a lot of work to do in the linebacker room because so much of that room are upperclassmen. And this is something where, like, as much as you love the idea of like a game-breaking wide receiver or a star running back or something like that, the concept of, hey, let's go take some linebackers from Alabama and LSU and Georgia, that's pretty appealing to me. Because like that's what you're going to need with Ron Roberts, is you're not only going to need those linebackers who can play sideline to sideline, who can cover, but you're going to need that jack linebacker, that guy who can do some of everything. It's going to be the most crucial part of the defense once we get everything fully staffed. And that's going to be the guy who's going to be the incredibly versatile NFL piece, who's going to be looked at as far as, you know, taken in the draft. And he might be an outside linebacker. He might be a defensive end. He might, you know, drop into coverage a lot. And so getting Walker White makes me feel really good about, one, all of the Breaking Bad memes you're going to see for the next couple of years. But then two, makes me feel really good about the idea of stocking some of these positions that have been not as good, like linebacker. So I really love that. And it's...
You've got to be talking about DeMarcus Riddick right now. Committed to Georgia. You ought to start feeling good about freezing company's chances with him, flipping him from a big dog like that. I mean, Clemson's a good starting point. It's a great starting mm-hmm. setup. I'm not taking anything away from what Dabo's done there. It's not what Kirby is doing right now at Georgia, in my opinion. But you start somewhere and you feel good going forward.
And if you started somewhere, you started with a four-star from a national champion in Clemson versus starting from stealing a guy from a, you know, a Cincinnati or something. So it's always a very high starting point and feels like you're just going to go farther up from here. This season, Auburn Daily has partnered with our friends at Prize Picks to bring fun and variety to sports in 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that lets you choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers, predict the over or under for whatever given statistic you choose in their next game, and win big prizes if they do well. They also have flex options. You can get paid on winning 3 of 5 or 2 of 3, and you can have multiple sports in the same parlay. Best of all, use promo code Auburn to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. It's promo code Auburn for double your first deposit, because this college basketball season, you can win some money with Prize Picks and Auburn Daily. Use promo code Auburn. Lindsey Crosby, Harrison Tarr here with you on the Friday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. And, you know, big weekend on the plains, lots of sporting events coming up. But before you start talking about who's actually playing, you have to talk about who's going to be playing in the future, because men's basketball just got a big commitment literally minutes ago as we record this.
Sure did, Lindsey. And I think we kind of are very excited about this one. Bruce Pearl is definitely excited about this one. LeBaron Filon, correct? I don't want to mispronounce the last name.
I believe it's Filon, but I am not the person to ask about name pronunciations. I get them wrong all the time.
Full disclosure, I don't want to butcher any names. I always try to get some assist there. But what a pickup for Bruce and the boys, for lack of a better term. 6'4 point guard out of Mobile, Alabama, keeping him at home. This kid's not from Atlanta, shockingly. I know that this new stuff happens every day here. but 95-24-7 sports, I guess, rating, 40th national point guard, fifth point guard, number one in Alabama, and then 98-3 composite. This kid is a baller. And if you look at what Bruce Pearl and company have been doing, not just with this class, which, I mean, obviously basketball classes are smaller, but what they've done historically, it's the guard play. I mean, this year's been a kind of an anomaly, right? 2023 has been a completely uncharted territory because guard play has been the strong point of Bruce Pearl teams. And I'm telling you, Lindsay, this kid's game fits really well.
Yeah. And he feels a little bit different from your prototypical Bruce Pearl point guard that we've seen for a few reasons to me. One being 6'4". You know, Jared Harper, Sharif Cooper, Wendell Green are all a little bit of a shorter, you know, right around 6 foot or so, maybe a little bit under, maybe a little bit over, depending on how they did their hair that day, Sharif. But it feels like he can distribute the ball really well. He can get to the rim and then he can shoot. And you haven't really had a pure shooter back there at the point guard position, it feels like, since you've had Jared Harper. And it just seems like the ceiling is so much higher for a Bruce Pearl team in the tournament when you have very good shooting from your guards. And so not a five-star, still has time to get there, but I feel like that this class is shaping up to potentially be terrifying because it's just so good. You have Peyton Marshall, you have Tahad Pettiford, and now you have LeBaron Fillion. What am I missing about him? Why he doesn't have a fifth star? Is it just one of those he's played smaller competition?
I really think that's the case. And you know what? Full disclosure, Lindsay, I've watched his film. I've not looked at his breakdown of his opponents, so I don't really want to overstep and misspeak. I do know 98-3 composite's pretty dang close to a five star. So it's one of those things that at some point doesn't matter. but you mentioned that this class is just crazy. I mean, it's the fifth overall class in the country. You've got 2 4-stars and a 5-star right now. They should be, they're close. If not, they're done. If not being done, they're close. But this is unprecedented in terms of just the longevity that we've seen out of BP and company. And this class can be special. And I think that all three of these guys you can plug and chug.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch them integrate these guys into the offense and kind of figure out what they do well. And you can see with adding this talent, this kind of gets you back to some of that formula you had for that Final Four run. I know we keep talking about that, but obviously that's kind of a big deal. You kind of get back to Fillion has the swagger. He has, you know, the nice moves, obviously the very well-rounded game. It's not a situation like a Sharif Cooper where he's elite with distribution, but maybe the shot isn't as great. And so 6'4", 177, you feel like you have a little bit of time for him to get a little bit more strength on him. And it's somebody who you can build an entire offense around in 2024. Is he good enough? I just don't know this. Is he good enough to be a one and done, or is this somebody where you may have him for multiple years?
He's absolutely good enough to be a one and done. We've said that about a couple of guys on this roster right now. So I don't want to, you know, go ahead and forecast that. I think you got three guys, two for sure, that could be one and done. Peyton Marshall, big men are a little different, but guards for sure. I mean, the NBA is always hungry for more of them, and I would be more surprised than not if he was not at least turning heads to be a second round talent in the, I guess, 25 draft.
24. There you go. Talking about top talents, you have some recognition to give to some of our women's players on great performances that they've had recently, don't you?
I do. So Auburn women's basketball is on a 3-game winning streak right now in the SEC. It's been a very long time since.
Love to see it. Love to see it.
Auburn's been in that kind of business. Carissa Richardson, I little shameless plug. I kind of got shouted out by women's basketball for one of my tweets the other day. It was kind of funny. They clipped it because I said the Carissa Richardson game, and I just don't think I'm wrong at all. Carissa had 15 points and 16 rebounds, and I always try to do this when I'm on the College Loop, Lindsay. So I'll try to put it in kind of men's comparison in terms of what those numbers would look like in a men's game. That's probably 25 to 26 and 28, 25 points and 28 rebounds. It's something absurd.
That's absurd. Yeah.
Just because the women's game just moves so much differently. There are a lot of different moving pieces. But the correlation there, it's bonkers. No wonder she's SEC Freshman of the Week, and definitely one of the bright spots on this team. And her recent emergence and I guess introduction to the women's basketball world of, hey, this is who, you know, KR is. This is who I can be. That's big for Auburn going forward, because they've got a tough matchup this weekend against a team that's really been what's the word I'm looking for here? Had very unfortunate luck in terms of just buzzer beaters after buzzer beaters after getting in the right position and still losing. So,
yeah, that is a Sunday versus Arkansas here at Auburn. It's actually also Aubie's birthday party. So if you are in the Auburn area, want to take your kids to see Aubie and then stick around for a fantastic women's basketball game, they have that. I believe that's going to start an hour before tip. It'll be in the suites. Kids club members get in the game for free, but everybody's invited to come to Aubie's birthday party. Before we get to Sunday, though, there is some interesting sports over the weekend. Gymnastics has the Iron Bowl of flippy stuff. I don't know what you're going to call it. They're going to Tuscaloosa. Gymnastics in Tuscaloosa. I feel really bad for them that they have to go there. Shout out SUNY. Probably never been to Tuscaloosa. Hopefully we'll never have to go back. And then Saturday, men's basketball at Tennessee. Always a game that they get really up for because of the whole Bruce Pearl thing. Does Auburn come out of the weekend 3-0 in these three sports?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think that your lock is gymnastics, and then the rest is flip coins. I feel really good about SUNY and company going into the airplane hangar. I'm a little offended. You don't like the airplane hangar, Lindsay. I can't believe you're not a big fan.
Oh, no. It's not that. It's just the city in general.
Hard agree in full sarcasm. So, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Goal is to never have to step foot there. That's what it is.
They do have good barbecue there. I'm not gonna lie.
There's other places to get barbecue.
Anyway, clearly this is the last cause. But, yeah, I think that you're looking at 1-2, 2-1. 2-1 would be magical. You've got two really tough opponents for on the hardwood. Men's basketball's got to go into Knoxville. If you've ever seen a basketball game in Knoxville, don't do it. And I'm sorry if you have. My girlfriend was spit on last year, so I've got some animosity. Yeah. Anyways, neither here nor there. Not the place, not the time.
You feel like Knoxville like I feel about Tuscaloosa. See?
Yeah.
It works
out. You can throw Athens in that conversation for me, too. Yeah. But that's a tough one. If Auburn wins that game, which you got Florida coming off a loss and Auburn coming off of a momentum-building win, it should be a dogfight, really, especially because Tennessee fans, shocker, hate Bruce. If Auburn can get away with that one unscathed, you feel good about going 2-1 in the weekend, but eventually this women's basketball magical run's got to kind of die down, and it's probably going to be Arkansas because that team has lost 3 SEC games by one score.
Just checking some of the lines for this weekend, it looks like Auburn is a 9.5-point road dog at Tennessee, and then there is sadly not a line available for women's basketball. I don't know how big of a market that typically is. If you go 3-0, it's fantastic. But either way, it shapes up to be another, like, this is the SEC. You face tough teams week in and week out. Johnny Harris is doing something special now that they're finally healthy. Everybody's heating up. And what's the payoff from this little streak of losses and then this win streak and the development that comes along with the playing time? What's the payoff of all this going to be next season? I know it's kind of far in the future, but what do you see this team capable of doing next year, provided they continue to develop the way we've seen it this year?
And provided that Johnny Harris continues to recruit the way that we think she can, for one. But this team's going to be pretty much the exact same next year when you bring in the fact that Sidney Shaw is going to be coming back and taking those minutes away from Honestly Scott Grayson. Honestly, really your only big piece that's not going to be here. And sorry, I got startled there for a second when my buddy opened the door there. But I think that it's tremendous, Lindsay. In women's basketball, if you can get reps, and we've talked about this, I think I've mentioned why South Carolina's been so successful and Dawn Staley's reason at 1A. But a lot of it is developing players and having them for 4 years. It's not like the men's game where you're really worried about one and done. It's about getting the right pieces where they fit in the right roles. And you've seen this group, A, get healthy, B, really establish an offensive identity. C, learn how to shoot the ball. This is the best three-point shooting team I've seen since I was a freshman at Auburn. Most importantly, they've seen the fact that they're capable of winning SEC games. There's that middle block for sure. It's kind of like when you're playing knockout with your buddies, you got to see one go in before you can start playing. It's really at a very basic level, it's the same concept. I think the payoff's tremendous. I think that Auburn can be middle of the pack SEC team next year. I think they're kind of flirting with that, like lower tier this year. Mm-hmm. But that's a huge improvement. Women's basketball is a really tough uphill sled to rebuild, and I've been nothing short of impressed.
So the turning point was the Ole Miss overtime victory on January 22nd. Shout out to my son for being there, cheering the team on. Thank you, buddy, for making that happen. Harrison, where can folks go to find more information about you, what you're doing, and all of your content?
I have no idea why they would want to do that, Lindsay. But if they did, my Twitter handle is right below me. Twitter handle, good night. Dude, it's Friday. I'm tough time talking today. My Twitter handle is right below me. It's at @byHarrisonTarz if you read my byline. My written work is at The Auburn Daily. It's, if you're on this video, I hope you can find it. And I'm also the host of The College Loop. There's no gimmicks to that. At The College Loop, we're talking everything Auburn every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday with Dylan Lark and Daniel Locke. And we've got some really cool stuff in store there. So that's where you can find me. Lindsay, I'd love to hear where people can love on you.
I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. All of my written work, also auburndaily.com. We're getting up on the start of baseball season. That's where I really tend to take over the site and write way too much stuff. And then the outside of that, my podcast, Locked On MLB Prospects, is available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Enjoy your weekend. Until Monday, this has been the Auburn Daily Show.